Welcome to episode one of Vertical Families. I'm so excited to be sitting in the podcast room with Debbie Haddix.
Something you always dreamed of, isn't it?
It is. It is. Well, I was thinking that the exciting thing about this is, so we're here on a Saturday morning recording, and I wasn't planning on seeing you this weekend, but because we're doing the podcast, you came up a day early.
Any chance we get, we just invade your space, don't we?
Spending the weekend with us. I mean, you showed up yesterday, and I was mopping the floors before you walked in.
You were. So. Quite impressive.
Karen told me when you were going to be close to getting there, and I thought, whenever she's getting ready to walk in the door, I'm going to get this mop out, and I'm going to start mopping the floor to be ready for her. So.
You know it's not necessary, but
I know.
I appreciate it.
Well, we are going to go ahead and jump into our content this morning. Our title is something you came up with, and we'll talk about at the end. It's based off a book you wrote, but Encouraging, Affirming, and Blessing Your Children.
Yeah, words. It kind of has popped out to me in the last few years, and I don't know if it's because we don't use our words so much anymore to speak to others. We've got our faces in these screens, and we're texting and emailing. But we've become pretty flippant with our words when we use them. Mm-hmm. We just spout them out without thinking, especially with those who are closest to us.
It's true. Sometimes that gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, or at least me. I don't want to speak for everyone or for you, but I can be pretty quick-witted and not think about what I'm getting ready to say.
Well, you know, at one time I was teasing. I was with one of my granddaughters, not one of your children.
Yeah.
And I was teasing that one of Mimi's gifts is sarcasm. And mm-hmm. She looked at me and she goes, Mimi, I really don't think that's a gift.
She sounds wise.
So. Yes. But I don't know about you, but I think because home is our safe place mm-hmm. and we're comfortable and we let our hair down. And sometimes we just say what's on our minds without letting it go through a filter. And it affects those that we're closest to.
Yeah. Not a question, right? So I will say things maybe to my kids or my spouse that I wouldn't say to others, like, I should not have said that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Words are important. Before we jump into this, I was looking down on a desk here and it's a word with a definition that's from a calendar. So I guess this is part of doing a podcast with a mother-in-law is you're going to bring things in occasionally. But what it is my middle child, we have a word of the day. So every night before she goes to bed, she gives me a word. And so it started when she's probably 6 years old. She had some book. It was in French.
I remember that.
Do you remember that book?
Yes.
Did you buy it for her?
I didn't buy it for her, but she loved that book.
I think she got it like at a Goodwill or garage. So it was a used book she got someplace. So every night I'd go in, I'm the one to always tuck my kids into bed. So I'd go in, put in bed, and she'd give me the word of the night. And it was always a French word. She never pronounced it right. You know, we didn't. And so she would give it to me. So she's going to be 16. So she's been doing this well over 10 years now. So this year I got her a calendar for Christmas. It's like one of those you sit on your desk, those little 4x4 calendars, and it has something every day you pull off. Hers is a new word every day. And so every day she brings in, or now I no longer tuck her into bed. She tucks you in, doesn't she? She goes to bed well after I do. So I don't know what time she goes to bed, but no. So she always brings it in. So we can never pronounce them. She takes after me a lot. Like, so she's definitely my child.
She is your child.
And we have trouble signs pronouncing some words, which is ironic since I'm on a podcast. But anyways, so she brought it in. So you brought it in today because she wanted me to use it.
Well, it was funny because she does. I know this about her. She does love taking you the word of the day mm-hmm. and challenging you to use it the following day. And she brought it in last night after she shared it with you. And we were looking at how to pronounce it and mm-hmm. what it meant. She goes, I'm pretty sure Dad's not going to be able to use this word tomorrow. And I said, oh, just hand it to me. We'll take it to the podcast. We'll see if we can't test him a little bit here.
Yeah. Well, the word is diaphanous. Is that how you say it?
I think that's
diaphanous.
Right.
And so it has the thought of being transparent. So my goal on this podcast is to be very diaphanous in our conversation.
Well, see, she didn't think that word would fit today, and it's perfect for our podcast.
That's what I was thinking. We're going to be very transparent on this podcast.
Okay. So.
But brought that in because we're talking about words are important. You'd mentioned in some of the show notes earlier about that statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
I don't know if you, like in my generation, we grew up with that. That was one of the mm-hmm. mantras of everything. You'd go home from school and somebody said something and first thing your parents or somebody, the teacher would say is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And now as an adult, I look back and I go, oh, that's so wrong.
Did you use that with your kids?
I did not use it with my kids. I think I came across the whole thinking about mm-hmm. it, and that is so not right, that's not one I adopted with my children.
Yeah. My dad did. I remember hearing that all the time. Like, Don't worry about it. Sticks and stones break your bones. Words never hurt you.
Like, words roll right out, but they don't. They stay, you know, a bone will heal pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And those thoughts in your head stay with you.
They do. The thing about words is that, so if you say them, like something harsh to someone, you move on and may forget about it. But that hurt or that the pain that you cause someone else, they don't forget about it.
They don't forget. And I was doing some research, and I don't remember, it's been a few years ago, if it was for the book or a speaking engagement. I think it was How Full Is Your Bucket, and mm-hmm. I think Donald Rath wrote it. But they talk about, just picture everybody you meet as carrying a bucket. And when you say those hurtful things, you're dipping into their bucket. Mm. When you give them encouragement and positive feedback, you're filling the bucket. And it takes, the research varies here, but on average, what I've found is six. It takes six positive, encouraging things to counterbalance that one negative thing. So it does stay with us for a long time.
Yeah, and what's convicting about that is if I look back at the past week and I take one of my children, like, did I say six positive things this week for every negative thing I said?
I
probably didn't.
It's not our nature.
No.
Part of the fallen world, it's not nature. We have to work at it.
We do. There's a Proverbs 12:18 says that there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Mm. So this kind of... We've talked about the negative side, like where there's sword thrust, right, which it is, and that damage is still there once you pull that sword out. But the other side of that is words can bring great healing to people.
They bring great healing. And when I think about encouraging words and affirming words, and those two things are not the same, they're all part of blessing someone. Mm-hmm. As I look through the Bible and examples of blessing, there are times when a person is blessed by someone's words of encouragement, and that's just simply being their cheerleader, mm-hmm. looking forward, encouraging your daughter in her quest for knowledge on vocabulary by buying mm-hmm. her a calendar and talking to her about those words. We can also bless by affirming, and affirming is different in that it looks back.
Okay.
We're watching, and that's one of the things I've been trying to do, especially with my grandchildren. Watch for those positive Christ-like characteristics that mm-hmm. they exhibit, and tell them you see it. Don't just keep it in your head. Ooh, that was a cool thing that my daughter just did. Go tell her that you've seen that in her and affirm her in that.
Yeah. So it takes me a while to get things, which you probably know that since you've been around me for over 20 years now. So when you say difference between encouraging and affirming, affirming is when you look back. So when we look at affirming my children.
Right.
Is I would look back this week and say, one of them got a good grade on a test. I'd see that because back in your day when you had kids
every minute, what do you mean back in my day?
You had to wait for report cards to come
we
home,
we did have
right?
to wait for report so now, cards or a phone call from the teacher.
Well, that was, did your yes. middle child, did you ever get phone calls from teachers on her?
No.
Okay. Good answer. But now, you know, we get things notified us daily, like their test scores, it's all digital and things like that. So I'll see that, like that they'll get a good grade on a test or something. And in my mind, I think, that's great. I know they studied hard for it. I'm proud of them. And then I move on to the next thing, and I never tell them.
I like when you see that, you're not just thinking, oh, they got an A. Mm-hmm. But as you see their report card or the grade on the test, you're thinking about the things that they had to do to earn that grade.
Yeah.
They studied hard. They took notes and paid attention in class. And those are the Christ-like characteristics that you can go back and, you know, at dinner time or mm-hmm. sitting around in the evening, tell them you've checked their grades and then mention those things. You know, I wish I had that diligence to study that you have, or I really admire that and I hope you will share that with others kind of stuff.
Yeah. So being very specific on like the actions that took place to make this happen.
Right.
Really, I mean, because what you celebrate in a child is what you want to see in that child, I think, right? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's so much more important to talk with them about the things you see, the characteristics, mm-hmm. the things they're interested in, than just to say, oh, you look pretty. I mean, that's important, but that's an outward kind of thing. And we want to focus on the inward parts.
Yeah. Okay, so affirming is looking back and finding things to affirm on them. Then what about encouraging?
Encouraging is looking forward.
Okay.
So those are the things, the words we offer to encourage and support. So you encouraged your daughter by buying her the calendar because mm-hmm. you know this thing about her and the love of the words. For me, every chance I get, and I don't get to with all my grandkids because there's miles that separate mm-hmm. us, but if I can be in a sporting event or school event mm-hmm. and be there and cheerlead. It's just kind of that go get them. You can do this kind yeah. of thing.
I think the encouraging is so important, and it always has been, but especially in the digital age that our kids live in, is one is they get to see the best of everyone else. So they're on social media if they're old enough, or mm-hmm. so they're seeing all the good things, and they're saying, I don't live up to that. And then the world's telling them, you know, you're never going to live up to this. So who is in their corner encouraging their cheerleader, as you said?
Yeah, they've got to know. I mean, we look around and we know it's affecting adults mm-hmm. who are seeing everybody's highlight reel and not the realities. Yeah. And they're doing this comparison thing. And for teenagers whose brains are still forming and developing, it's even harder. So they've got to know who's yeah. in their corner.
What about, I know we're primarily looking at younger children with this topic, but how have you applied this, or how would you encourage parents who have adult children? Is there the importance of this and what this looks like?
That's kind of the hard part. One of the best things the older generations can do, and that's my generation mm-hmm. to adult children or adult children to teens, is modeling it. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hear the preachy
yeah.
kind of stuff. And there's so many families now. I feel so grateful because I have a good relationship with all of my adult children and mm-hmm. their spouses. And we can talk about this stuff and we can try to live this stuff. But a lot of families don't have that. Mm-hmm. For someone my age to go to an adult child where there's not that shared
yeah.
conviction and faith and hope, it's hard just to try to beat it into them.
Right.
I think the best thing is just model it.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And I think what you do a good job with this, if you're able to encourage your adult children, though, right? Because they still like hearing from their parents that they're
yes.
proud of them. And
yes. I don't think we ever outgrow that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you know, I recently lost my mom mm-hmm. and had lost my dad 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were great encouragers yeah. and supporters for me. And now it's like, where is this going to come from?
Yeah.
Like, that part's gone.
Yeah. I've lost my dad, not my mom, but I remember hearing at a young age when I was a teenager or something that no matter what age you are, when you've lost both your parents, there's like an emptiness that, mm-hmm. that's there because you lose that sense of belonging that you get from your parents.
Yeah. Even I went back to school to college as an adult mm-hmm. when my youngest started preschool. And so I graduated college when my oldest child was graduating high school.
Yeah.
But my parents were there. Like mm-hmm. the whole time I was in school, they were at my graduation. And that's going to be a big hole. Like, who am I going to find
yeah.
to fill that role? Because I'm way older than you are, and I still need the encouragement from yeah. someone.
That's true. And I think this is where it can get hard, because there's some people who don't have those parents, mm-hmm. right? But there is the hope of the gospel is that all families designed to make us long for heaven and our Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. to know that we live in a broken world where you may not get the affirmation, the encouraging here, but you can go to Scripture and get what God says about you and get that hope.
Yeah. In the Word, we get it as His children mm-hmm. from Him. But I think also as that speaks to the importance of the body of Christ, the mm-hmm. church. Like, there are people in my church or people I know that I could approach them
yeah.
and I have a close enough relationship that I could ask them to walk alongside me.
Yeah, which that's going to be, I think, a reoccurring theme in our podcast is the importance of being part of a church family. So yes, we're looking at vertical families, but in my mind, it's impossible to be a vertical family focused on Christ if you're not part of the church body.
I agree.
Because totally. Christ died for the church. He loves the church. That's His bride. So in order for that complete family picture to go together, you have to have that church family,
yes.
that tribe that comes alongside you, that when you lose a parent, that's there to help in some ways, to never replace, but to help encourage you to keep going.
So. Right. And for those of us who have lost parents, but also we've got a lot of families in our churches who don't have believing Christian family members in their extended family. They don't have that support that we yeah. do. And that's where they can get it. Going to the Bible and knowing Christ and getting it from Him is great, but sometimes we need it from people with skin on.
Yeah.
And that's where we can get it is in our church family.
Yeah. So let's kind of bring this back to where okay. we're talking. So encouraging, affirming. But the one thing I want to mention is that, so we're talking about encouraging, affirming, and blessing children. But let's not just do that with our children, right? So it's
right.
in your church family. Look at that 4 or 5-year-old who maybe has trouble sitting in church, but did really good this Sunday,
yes.
right? They only ran around the auditorium twice during the preaching, and not the dozen times they usually do it. Go up to them afterwards and let them know how proud you
let
are of them.
Let them know, you know. Grab that kid after church and speak it into their parent
oh,
or whoever,
yeah.
the grandparent or whoever brought them, because yeah. that's tense when the child is yours and they're not sitting still, you feel the pressure too.
Yeah. You know, that was when I had smaller kids, especially, occasionally someone would come up to me and say, man, you have great kids, or you're doing a good job as a parent. Just when I was out at a restaurant or someplace, I still remember the couple times that happened.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're discouraged all the time. I can think of stories where my kids weren't the greatest, and for whatever, for that 20 minutes, they were good. Yeah. And someone said something to me, thought, I'm the greatest dad in the world, right?
Yes. Yeah, so maybe we go back to that whole fill the bucket analogy again. It's like, when we see the opportunity, let's grab it and fill their bucket.
Yeah. It goes back to that Proverb 12:18 that those wise words bring healing, right? Right. Those words of comfort. So, all right. So we talked about that. You also talked about the difference between like blessing and prayer.
Yeah, it's easy to get them confused, or especially if you've not thought about blessing before. One of the easiest things to think about is to think about blessing as a form or a type of prayer.
Okay.
And then just know the distinctions. For prayer, that's talking to God. When you sit down in prayer, it's just you and God. You're having a conversation. Your attention is turned toward Him as you're talking. So the you of your prayer as you're speaking is God. In a blessing, we're talking to another person. So I know we've celebrated formal blessings in our family on the kids' 12th birthdays, and we all come together. And so as Don, my husband, is reading that blessing or speaking that blessing over the child, he's talking not to God, but to that child that's turning 12. Yeah. The you is the person he's talking to. So in this case, the you's not God, it's one of the children. Mm-hmm. Yet we intend for God to be the one who acts in response. So we're speaking these words over this child to the child, but we're involving God. It's all about Him, and we're asking Him to be part of it. So a blessing moves in multiple directions. We're invoking God's help, assistance, involvement for the benefit of the child.
Yeah, and it's so practically what, you know, you guys have done this for the children that turn 12, but also for when your children turn 40, is it?
Well, as we learned more and more about the importance of blessing, affirming, encouraging, bestowing this formal blessing, we felt convicted.
Yeah.
I grew up in a Christian home, but we didn't, I mean, I received the blessing, but never a formal blessing.
Yeah.
I knew my parents loved me. They did the things that are part of a blessing. My husband didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't grow up in a Christian home. He never had any type of blessing. And this started working on him.
Yeah.
The more we learned it. And he said, you know, so what are we going to do? Well, by that time, our oldest grandchild was almost 12. So that's why we picked 12. There's no significance to 12. Each year, as a grandchild turns 12, we all go out to dinner. We bestow the formal blessing. And then he got to feeling and wondering about our adult children because we hadn't grown up with this practice. We had not done it with our children formally when they were younger. And so we wanted to correct that and make that part of our family. And again, no significance to the age of 40, but our oldest daughter, believe it or not, was approaching 40.
I was going to ask, like, can you believe that almost all your kids are going to be in their 40s
soon? I know. That hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts worse when you think about the youngest being almost 40. Yeah. But that's why there's no, like, you have to do this at 12. You have to do this at 16. Find times that are significant to your family, that work for your family, and bestow that blessing.
Yeah. So what is the so you and Don, do you sit down and like write it together? Is that?
We do.
Okay.
We went through first and looked. There's so many biblical examples of formal blessing in the Bible. It's a good study all on its own. It was just part of their daily lives.
Yeah.
They did it as they came and went. And so we looked and we read up on it. There's a lot of things you can find books on bestowing the blessing and what it takes. But we sit together and write it together, and we try to make sure that the five elements of a formal blessing are included in the process of writing it or delivering it.
Okay. What are those five elements that should be in a blessing?
Five elements are meaningful. First one's meaningful touch, and there's no order. I'm just kind of going through
them. What do you mean by that?
So meaningful touch, there's a connection. If I stand off from my grandchild and offer these words, it's not quite as meaningful to her. There's not quite the connection as if I walk over to her and I put my hand on her shoulder.
Yeah.
Or I put my arm around her neck or hold her, whatever's appropriate and comfortable for the relationship you have with the person you're blessing.
Okay.
For Isaac to Jacob, when he gave the blessing, he put a kiss on his cheek. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it can be anything that closes the distance between you and the person you're bestowing the blessing on.
Okay.
Second one is the spoken word. You know that we write out the formal blessings. Mm-hmm. We write them out so that the child can take them home and hang them on a wall or stick them in a scrapbook and see them over and over again.
Yeah, which I think is really cool that you haven't wrote out, because I don't mean this in a mean way, but like once you're in heaven.
Exactly.
Your grandkids are still going to have this to pass on to their grandkids.
They will.
So you're going out several generations that you're going to make an impact on that if you just said it to them, they wouldn't remember.
Yeah, right? there's something about written word.
Yeah.
I'm not belittling the written word. We'll talk about my mom again. I went down to visit my brother because he'd asked me to come and do a couple things after my mom passed away.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, he handed me her Bible. And the first thing I did was go home and start just flipping the pages, looking for her handwriting and the notes that she had left. So there's something about having it written out, but to speak it also. So we hand it to them so they have it, but we do speak it out loud over them where their family members and everybody can hear our hopes for them.
Yeah, I think that's important, that even if it's awkward for them, like at 12 years old, to have their grandparents or parents like doing this in front of others, they won't forget that day.
They don't forget. It's funny. We thought that they might feel awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Your oldest was the first one we'd done it with.
Yeah.
And we let her choose where we all went for dinner, gathered everybody after the meal. And Don stood over her with his hands on her shoulders and read it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have felt awkward, but it was funny because your other two couldn't wait to be 12.
Yep.
Like they remember that.
That's
we
true.
Get to pick dinner. We get the blessing spoken over us.
Yeah. So that's the second one's a spoken word.
Yes. And then third is affirmation.
Affirmation. Okay.
And we've already talked about words of affirmation, how important they are to look back, to speak those things into their lives, to let them know we see them doing well and encouraging them in the things that they are doing well. And so it's important to make that part of that blessing.
Yeah.
Pick out some characteristics you see about the child, whether it's a teenager, a young kid, or an adult child.
Yeah.
And let them know.
Okay. The fourth one?
Fourth one is envisioning a special future. We, of course, cannot predict. I look at all 12 of my grandkids. I can't predict what their life is going to be like as an adult. I have no idea. But I can communicate a hope for them for a special future. And I can do that, again, by bringing in those characteristics I see. Like, I see this in you, and I see you could use that as this or this or this as an adult.
Yep. And then what's the last one?
And the last one, when we bestow a blessing on our family members, there's an investment on our part, too. So far, we focused on the person we want to bless. We have to be willing to make the commitment to follow through on those words. So if we're speaking words of, I see this and this for you in your future, we have to be willing to invest in that, whether it's time or finances or whatever it takes.
Yeah. And then they have that in writing, so they can always come back to
exactly.
you, right?
Exactly.
It's like, hey, you committed to this. That's good. And then you mentioned, I mean, I would recommend if this is new to you to maybe even do a study on it through Scripture and see the different blessings in the Old Testament and the importance there. And
I think it's very important. We'll go through and see that they don't all look alike. Mm-hmm. There's not a step-by-step prescription, but it is definitely was a part of the culture in the Bible and something that would be worth our while to make part of our culture.
Yeah, that's interesting. Anything on, so you mentioned the difference between blessing and prayer. Did you want to say anything about prayer for your children here? Or?
I think we've got an episode coming up on that,
okay.
So maybe we can.
We'll take care of it then.
Okay.
Sounds good. Well, this was, a lot of this material came out of a book you wrote, right?
It did. As Don and I realized how important it was to our family and to the generations of our family to come, we felt like this is something to share with other grandparents. And so it's a small little book called Give a Blessing.
Okay.
It is written to grandparents, but absolutely the content in it, a parent, an adult child could pick up and use those same things with their children.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been good for me.
Good.
To listen to, and I hope it has been for others as well. And
a refresher for me, because sometimes we know these things and we just forget.
Listen, anytime someone wants to set me down and tell me, you need to use your words wisely, I need to listen, because I tend to forget that pretty fast. So, okay, and where can people get that book at?
It's under the title Give a Blessing, and they can find it on Amazon or at christiangrandparenting.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, appreciate you guys joining us today. If you would. If you haven't already, like us on Facebook or Instagram, share it with your friends, and we can't wait to get back to episode 2.